in his own, and he says, I'm going home. Well, after several days, something different took place. TJ didn't notice that every time that he went by, this dog was digging a hole under the fence. And what do you think began to happen, young people? What do you think this dog was trying to do? He was trying to get out. Amen? But see if y'all guys are paying attention. What was TJ doing? He wasn't paying what? He wasn't paying attention. So while he was bouncing his basketball, amen, and day after day, amen, this dog was getting that hole was deeper and deeper and deeper. Then all of a sudden, one day, TJ is going home and he's bouncing his ball. And the next thing you know, amen, the dog gets out. And TJ sees it. And he says, oh my. And what do you think TJ starts to do, young people? What did he start doing? He began to run. Amen. Amen. And what did he do with that basketball? He left it. Amen. So as he was running home, amen, he was running so fast. He was like an Olympic track star. Carl Lewis, all those guys of the day couldn't see. I'm thinking I'm dating myself. None of those guys, amen, could catch him. That's how quick he was running. But while he was running, he tripped. And he fell before he got to the home. And guess what that dog did? Anybody want to take a guess? He bit him? Okay, that's one. What do you think he did? He attacked him? Okay, that's another. What do you think that dog did? Those are all good answers. Growled at him? Yeah, he did that. Amen. Those are all great answers. Amen. And eventually, that's probably what could have happened. But guess what? Something surprising happened. He wasn't after TJ, he attacked the ball. And he began to maul the ball and begin to bite the ball. And all along, all those many days, that dog wanted that ball. It was something about that ball that would drive that dog crazy. And TJ got home, amen. He had his peanut butter and jelly sandwich, amen. And the dog had the ball, amen. And everybody went their separate ways. Well, this message can speak to us in different ways, to our children as well as our older saints. That dog, in a way, represents the devil. And one thing about the enemy is he's always watching. He's always observing. But we don't have to be afraid of him because we're protected. God's going to protect his people. Amen. But it still doesn't relieve us of the responsibility to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me, somebody. Be watchful. Aware of our what? Of our surroundings. Amen. So likewise, naturally as well as spiritually, amen, we have to pay attention, amen, when we're doing things, amen. We have to be safe. We have to watch where we're walking, watch where we're going, watch what we're doing. And young people, that's why your parents, we're telling you things, amen, because we're trying to protect you. And that's why you have to pay attention, and that's why you have to do what we tell you to do, amen, because we're looking out for you and we're protecting you from all the things out there, amen. So, but even spiritually, we have to understand the enemy's plan is to attack. Now, we're covered, but the devil wants our stuff. And one of the things that the devil attacks in young people and older people are some of the things. What are some of the things that the devil, young people, wants us to try to do to feel bad? What are some of the things that he may do or try to make us feel? Scared, fear. Anybody else? Anger. Amen. He wants us to be anger. Be angry. What are some other things? Say that again. Hatred. Hatred, bitterness. When you don't feel good about yourself, what's that called? Low self-esteem. Depression. Confusion. So these are just some of the things, amen, that the devil, amen, He wants to steal our joy, our happiness, our peace, our esteem. He wants us to make us feel that we're not important, that we're not beautiful, that we're not destined to do great things. And all along, that's what the devil, he tries to attack us with, young and old. But we have to remember who we are in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, we're skillfully. When God created all of us, he created masterpieces. I need a couple kids, quick, pop up. Need some volunteers. Amen. Stand right up here. Yeah, come on. All right. Just stand right there. Turn around, face that. Amen. Matter of fact, this whole front row, come up here. I don't want to leave nobody out. Each of these young people and the young people that are still out there, amen. You know, before the foundation of the world, God knew who they were, their names, their height, skin color. He knew everything of the sound of their voice. He knew everything about you before you were even born. I believe it's Psalms 139. We were fit together in our mother's womb. We were knit together in our mother's womb. Each and every one of you, God created for a purpose. Each and every one of you, you are somebody in Jesus Christ. Amen? And what the enemy wants to do with these young people and the older people is he wants to try to hinder them or keep them from fulfilling their purpose, calling and destinies, because he doesn't want them to realize who they are. Well, I'm here to let you know you are somebody right now. Amen. Amen. That each of you, amen, we could be looking at some doctors up here. We could be looking at some attorneys up here. We could be looking, help me out. What could we be looking at? Mother, what are some things we could be looking at? Teachers, engineers, nurses, judges. Hey, guys, we're talking about you. Presidents, amen. Congressmen, amen. We're talking about you, you guys. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Amen. Each and every one of you. Thank you, young people. Let's give them a hand. You may be seated. They're all special. We're all special. But that is one of the jobs of the adversary, is to make you feel bad about yourself. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. That is not true. Look at everybody here loves each of us. We should, first of all, love one another. Amen. And if you're not feeling the love, amen, you need to look to your brother after church and say, where's the love? Amen. If you ain't feeling the love, just jack him up. Say, where's the love? Amen. I need some love. Amen. The truth of the matter is, amen, we are called, amen, to be disciples of love. Amen. God is love. And if God is our Father and we're his children, his offspring, then shouldn't some of the same attributes that are in our Father be in us, so as naturally, so as spiritually? Amen. So if we call ourselves sons and daughters of God, then there should be some attributes within us that we should genuinely care for one another. When you care for one another, you don't pick on one another. When you care for one another, you don't make fun of each other. You don't call other people's names. You don't do that because that's your brother. That's your sister. And we're all connected together. Amen. Now, let me say this. Just not talking about young people. Amen. Because we adults, we can be vicious too. Amen. We can let some things come out of our mouths. And what's the old saying? It says, sticking stones don't break my bones. What's that? But names, we know that's not true. Amen. Sometimes you'd rather have the stick in the stone. Amen. Because the name, amen, the words sometimes can stick with you for a lifetime. Your bone will heal in 2 or 3 months. But the psychological or emotional trauma takes a while to get past. And even though physically, speaking to the big people now, even though physically you look whole, but the truth of the matter is, you're broken on the inside. You look whole to eyesight, but on the inside you're hemorrhaging, you're bleeding, and you're covering up. And you said, nobody can know this. But if you were to be honest, and many of us, we would say, I'm hemorrhaging, I'm bleeding, I've fallen, and I can't get up. Nobody raised a hand, but at some point in life, amen, you will get in situations where you will feel like you have fallen and you can't get up. Now, I'm just being real, amen. I'm talking plain, amen. You live long enough, you save, Holy Ghost filled, and all of that. Not saying that you won't have the victory, but truth of the matter is, you will go through trial and tribulation. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that we go through as some strange thing has happened to us. Amen. You sometimes and I will be wounded in battle, but we will win the war. Amen. But the key is, when we have been injured, amen, don't stay at that place, but you've got to get up, dress your wound, apply the balm of the word, heal your spirit, heal your mind, and move on to your next assignment. Because if you stay at that place where you were wounded, your whole future and the futures of others are dependent upon you to be in position at the right time, at the right place. See, that's why we can't cower in our own circumstance, because many times it's bigger than us. You may feel inferior, insignificant, but that's just something the devil has spoken to you, and it's not true. But you don't realize that there are 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people waiting for you. You are an essential part of the plan that God wants to use in their lives to equip them, to train them, to build them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to direct them, to give them wisdom, to give them insight, to help them formulate a plan. God wants to use you. But if you're out of commission on the sideline of battle because you suffered, amen, and you refuse to get up, there are others who are waiting and are going to suffer because you won't take your place. So in other words, we often say that even as football players, and we have different games, basketball, and but many times these professional athletes, the majority of them, they will still play, but they're playing injured. They're playing and they have bruises, their muscles are strained. But many times you don't know it. But because they know that they have to be on the court for the team. There are times, amen, that you will be in the game, but you will be injured. Amen. There are times that you are playing wounded with bruises, but nevertheless, I want to encourage you, stay in, play, let God have his way. So young people, God loves you. God has a purpose for you. God has an awesome future for you. God has a plan for you. Remember this, that you are somebody special. And with Christ's help and with the love and support of godly people, your parents and your loved ones and people around you, you can achieve everything that your wildest dreams and even beyond your thoughts and expectations can imagine. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Young people, what does it mean to be sober? I think yes. You know. What does it mean to be we got any older people can help him out? Say that again. Okay. What does it mean to be sober? Anybody? Some of my older saints too. What does it mean? Say it again. Clear-minded. Somebody else. What does it mean to be sober? Without drink. What does it mean to be sober? Some more. Be alert. What does it mean to be sober? Amen. It says, be sober. In other words, and brother said, to be clear of drink. In other words, whether literal drink or just in a state of mind, don't allow your thinking to be intoxicated or distracted, or allow yourself to be drugged by things that are around you. The world can be a distraction to the point where it clouds your judgment. It clouds your clarity of thought and your ability to make right decisions. That's why they say don't make decisions when you're angry. You need to calm down. You need to walk away, whether it's a day or an hour, whatever. You know you. Amen. Whatever it takes for you to come and then go back to that situation, then you won't be thinking through anger, but you'll be thinking through clarity of mind and based on the information and the facts that you have. So you won't make decisions on emotion, which you will often will later regret. So be sober, be alert, be attentive, be clear-minded, be on the lookout. Remember that young boy with the basketball? He wasn't what? Paying attention. Amen? If he had been paying attention, he would have been seeing that. You know what? That dog's going to eventually get out of here. And if he had been paying attention, young people, what are some of the things? If he had realized what that dog was doing, what do you think that boy might have done? Took another way home. Right. So God still protected him, but there are a lot of things that we can avoid. There are some battles that we just don't have to fight. There are some things that we can avoid. There are some things. That's right. Choose your battles. Everything. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be Superman and engage everything and right every wrong. God didn't call you one person to fight every single battle. God just might want you to pray about it. He just might want you to trust him. Or maybe he's going to have somebody else. Amen. So choose your battles. And if you get in a battle, make sure it's God that's sending you and not yourself. Be sober. Be vigilant. Quickly, a big person. What does vigilant mean? Watchful. Stay on guard. Aware of your surroundings. Amen. That's just if you were standing watch. And you know people are breaking into houses at an unprecedented rate. And you say, you know what, I'm going to stand and protect my home and protect my family. You're going to be sober. You're going to be vigilant. You're going to be on guard. And you're going to be watchful. And the Bible lets us know, why do you have to do this? It says here in 1 Peter 5:8, because your adversary. Adversary lets you know right away, the devil is not our friend. He doesn't like us. He doesn't care about us. He wants to destroy us. Your adversary, the devil. And let me say this. I'm trying to not go too far here. I know I'm focusing on the kids. The thing is, many of us, we got these relationships with the adversary, which is confusing. Because we say that we love God. We say that he is our Father. We say that Jesus is Lord. But we're hanging out at the Beelzebub Inn. We're hanging out at the First Church of Satan. And we're at happy hour with the prince of demons. Well, God called us out of darkness. Amen. Called us out of sin. Now, none of us are perfect, but we have been made perfect or righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you and I, we have to make a decision who we roll with. Amen? Young people, if you know people are doing bad things, don't hang out with them. You are a designer's original. You don't have to fit in to a group or a fad or a club, but you be a leader. And I'll let you know something. When you are a leader, at first, they may try to laugh at you. But, you know, when they see your resolve, when they see that, you know what, you're confident in who you are, people will begin to admire you and you people will follow you for doing the right thing. So when you see people doing wrong, this is young and old, amen, because we got some old folk, they don't know this lesson. Amen? Why are you hanging out? And you know it's reefer night at OBT and Gore. You know that's all they're doing, but you're talking about I'm going to hang out. Wait a minute. Wasn't you just in church Sunday rolling around and praising and giving God all the glory? Then what am I looking at? What's in that paper bag? What's going on? Who are you? Question is, the statement is, there are undercover double agent Christians in the church. That's another sermon. And you almost want to say, who are you? Are you a double agent? Amen. You're one way with one group, pledging allegiance, but then different day of the week, you're saying the same thing to the other party. Wait a minute. Which one are you? God is saying, choose ye this day who you will serve. It comes down to a choice. God is not going to force you, but he's simply putting it before you. Make a choice. Amen. So it says here, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, it didn't say it was a lion, but it says as a roaring lion. In other words, his characteristics are that of an animal who preys upon, who stalks, who hunts. And his ultimate desire is to devour and to kill, steal, and destroy. It says in verse 9, whom resist word means basically two words, stand against. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Young people and older people, no matter what you go through, you are not alone. The things that you are enduring, you are not alone. There are brothers and sisters, there are people, peers, friends that are dealing with the same thing. One of the things that the enemy, he wants to isolate us and make us feel like we're the only ones. I'm the only one going through this. No, there are many. But one of the jobs of the adversary is to get you to think, amen, that if he can isolate you and corner you off in your mind and your emotions and ultimately in your physicality, then he can destroy you. But you're not alone. You have brothers and sisters who are praying, who are enduring, who are going through, and with the help of God, standing firm in the faith and the power of Jesus Christ, they are able to be victorious. Amen? Romans 12 and 2, almost done, says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't allow this world to dictate who you are. You know who you are. You are a child of the King. We are to be the trendsetters. We are the ones that are called to make the difference. We are the ones that are called to set the pattern, not the world. We are the ones who are called to say, listen, I'm going to follow after God. We are the ones who are called, amen, to lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ and say, you know what? For Christ I live and for Christ I die. We are the ones, amen, who set the mark. Amen. We are the ones who set the trailblazers. We are the ones who are the movers and the shakers, not the world. So don't allow the world to dictate to us and tell us how to think, what to watch, what we do. No, we don't take our instructions from the world. Amen. We take our instructions from God. Amen. Amen? It says here, but that ye may be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. All of us, our minds have to be transformed. And guess what? It's a daily thing. Some of the older saints, you remember the vinyl records, amen, and they press the music into the vinyl with grooves, amen? And you put the needle on, and that's how you listen to the music, amen? Well, guess what? That's what the world has done. The sin, that Adamic nature, has pressed within our thinking, a warped sense of reality that has been pressed into our psyche, into our soulish aspect of man. But it's the Word of God that renews and wipes out all of that stuff and gives us clarity of thinking, helps us to see things with a different perspective and a different light with a different meaning and understanding, all because we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. So it says that you may prove or know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way that you can know what God's will is, amen, you have to surrender to Jesus Christ. You have to say, God, wash me, cleanse me, purify me, renew my mind so I can make right decisions. So I can think the right way. It's a battle of the mind. It's the battle. And that's why you could almost lose any part of your body and still live. But if your head is cut off, it's a done deal. Amen. Amen. You can lose a finger, a toe, an arm, a foot, a leg, a calf. You can get hurt in a lot of different ways. And with the right help, you can recover and survive. Amen. But if you lose your head, amen, it's done. Amen. It's dinner time. It's over. So the devil's job is to attack the minds of the people. And the children aren't exempt because he wants to gift them at a young age. That if I can form in their mindsets and give them mindsets, that's why people have mindsets that are wrong to the day they die. Because they were fed wrong information. They were never renewed in the spirit of their mind. And that thing sometimes was put in at a young age. They're called mindsets or ways of thinking or strongholds. And strongholds have to be destroyed, amen? And that's why the devil is after the youth. Because he knows that it is the generation that are the future pastors and the future leaders and the future governors. And he said, if I can corrupt them at a young age, if I can tell them about two daddies and two mommies, if I can corrupt them that drugs are good, if I can tell them that right is wrong and wrong is right and blue is black and green is yellow, if I can corrupt their thinking, then I'm creating, the devil would like to think, an army that's going to be obedient to me. But I'm here to let you know that's why God has watchmen on the wall such as me and you, amen, that will cry loud and spare not and lift up our voices like a trumpet. And when the devil comes in the room, we'll say, halt in the name of Jesus. You don't belong in my house. In the name of Jesus, get out of my son's room. In the name of Jesus, I come against this foul and perversive spirit. In the name of Jesus, I come against this homosexual spirit. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke it and I resist you and I stand against you in the name of the Lord. God is looking for men and women that are not going to cower down, but we've got to look and say, you know what? We've got an assignment and a duty, and part of that duty, amen, is to train up these young people, to teach them the ways of the Lord, to teach them the admonition and nurture in the Lord, is to teach them how to live godly lives. We are responsible, as we will pass the baton to them eventually. Amen. Will it be said of us that we didn't properly give them the instruction and the tools that they need to be successful? What kind of parents or leaders would we be if we did not give them what they needed to be successful in life? They would be open prey to the enemy's hand. So we've got to say now more than other. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. He speaketh clearly, he speaketh certainly, and he speaketh plainly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Look to your neighbor and say, he's not talking about you. that in the latter times there will be many, there will be some who will depart from the faith. Why? Because they've allowed themselves to be indoctrinated and deceived, amen, and pulled along other ways other than the word of God, amen. Giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. And doctrines of devils. And as you often hear me say, a seducing spirit is a spirit that is tactical. It's a tactician. It's strategic. It's calculated. It's methodical in its approach. It observes, just like that dog, it watches. It plans. But that's why we've got to stand in the power of our God. That no matter what the strategies or tactics or devices of the evil one may be, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is the Spirit of God that is in us. Let me translate that. No matter what the devil may come against you with, because God is on the side of the righteous, because you are filled with the precious Holy Ghost, because you are his son and you are his daughter, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. The devil is going to form all sorts of things and ideas and tactics and strategies and try to get you to be depressed and try to get you to do things. But you know what? You've got to stand on the word of God. And let me tell you this. Listen, your faith, your salvation isn't based on a physical feeling, but it's based on the fact of God's word and what he has said. In other words, the devil, he always tries to attack you from that soulish aspect. You don't feel saved. Listen, devil, shut up. There are many days that you're not going to feel saved, but your faith isn't based on a feeling. Your faith is based on the fact of what God has said concerning his word. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If I confess my sins, God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Doubt will get out of my mind. Amen. Don't let the guilt of the past, don't let a mistake of the past hamper you. You are free. You are washed. You are cleansed in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sin. So no matter what the devil may whisper in your ear, no matter what people may accuse you of, you've got to say, in the name of Jesus, yeah, that's me, but it's not me. I'm a new man. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been washed. I've been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. There's something that happened on the inside. There was a change. There was an operation. There was a metamorphosis. There was something that took place which you can't perceive with your natural eyes, but I'm here to let you know that I have faith in my God, and he's made me a new creature. He's washed me and cleansed me and gave me a new attitude. I've got a new disposition. I've got a new way of thinking. I've got a new way of talking. I don't go where I used to go. I don't hang out where I used to hang out, because I am the King's kid. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this: know also that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. We are in a time where, man, this has always been around, but it's multiplied at such an exponential rate, amen, that it's all about me, myself, and I. If I can't get nothing out of it, then it ain't worth me doing it. Wait a minute. If I don't get rewarded, if I don't get the accolades, if I don't get my name mentioned, if I don't get the promotion, wait a minute, I'm hearing too many I's here. It should be less I's and more Christ. And we ought to say, God, it's not about I, but it's about you. It's about Christ in me. Hallelujah. It's not about your name being on the billboard or being in neon light. It's not so much about you being great. Amen. And you may be great if God lifts you up, but let God do it. Let another man praise you. Don't go around floating your own boat. Don't go around sticking your chest out. Be what God has called you to be. Amen. Know your assignment. Know your work. Know what you're called to do. And guess what? When the chief shepherd shall appear, guess what? He's going to reward you. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you an inheritance. He's going to give you open doors and opportunity. The favor of God is going to be on your life. Doors will open. Opportunity will take place. Blessings will happen. All because you did it. Amen. To honor God. We say, look at us, but we ought to be saying, look at Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen. And I shall not be moved. Thank you, Lord. In closing, no matter what your situation, your circumstance, your test, your trial, you've got to speak, you've got to confess, you've got to profess, you've got to declare, you've got to decree, and you've got to say, in the name of Jesus, I shall not be moved. I'm standing on the rock. And no matter what else may be shifting and changing all around me, people change. You thought you knew them, huh? Well, I guess you didn't. Jobs change. You thought it was a lush thing, a secure thing. Well, they're shutting down next week. But Jesus, who is the rock, a sure foundation, unchangeable. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I'm going to make my investment, spiritually speaking, I'm going to place my life on a sure thing. I don't have time to be messing with chance, messing with possibilities. No, I'm going to stand on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Because he will never leave me nor forsake me. But he's going to stand with me, everyone standing, until the end of all time. I've made up in my mind. For Christ I live, and for Christ I'll die. If you're a soldier in the army of our God, you got to understand that you're in a battlefield. You've got to understand that you're going to get in some fights. You're going to understand that there is spiritual warfare. But a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ won't be a deserter. Those who really love God, those who really sell out to themselves and yield themselves to the Lord and the work of his kingdom, God wants to use you.